We are a kingdom class of people. What is the title of this message? You have a kingdom calling. I spent 7 days in Rwanda and spent a lot of that time on airplanes and in airports. Those kind of trips are a little tough because you're flying a long way on the other side of the world. But I count it an honor and a privilege to take the gospel to the nations of the world. But in those airplanes, when you fly from the United States and you're going to the eastern part of the world, it's almost like you skip a night. Because our flight left in the evening and, late at night. And we're traveling east. So you're getting ready to sleep. But in about 3 hours, you're in the next day. It's like, what happened to that night? So when I got back to America and I gave my passport to the customs people, they stamp it. Citizen of the United States has arrived home. Now think of that in the context of heaven. Because the Bible says that you and I, we have had a citizenship change. As believers, when this transfer takes place, our citizenship changes. Now, before Christ, we walked in sin and disobedience under our landlord, the devil. He's a tough landlord. He doesn't fix anything. Come on, somebody. He messes everything up. Slumlord is what he is. So before Christ, we walked in sin and disobedience under that landlord, the devil. But after our salvation, hallelujah, our passport gets stamped, citizen of heaven. This is why Paul said in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also eagerly wait for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he's going to change our vile body to be like his. It will be eternal. It will never die. It won't have sickness or disease. It's going to be a direct reflection of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that I am a citizen of heaven. But now the Bible tells us this, that because of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, spiritual death has taken hold of all of mankind. And as believers, we were all there. But in Christ, no longer. But the Bible says that because of spiritual death, we were sold under sin. The word says we were sold under sin. Check this out. Romans 7:14. We know that the law is spiritual. Remember, who's the lawgiver? God. Who makes up the rules? God. So the law is his word. It's who he is. God is holy and truthful and righteous. I mean, that's who he is. Sin cannot stand in his presence. So how could anybody be acceptable in the sight of God? Because all of us were under that dirty landlord called the devil. So the Bible says we know that the law is spiritual. In other words, in the power of sin, nobody can fulfill the law of God. Nobody can measure up because it's spiritual. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Paul says, we know the law is spiritual, but I am a creature of the flesh, carnal, unspiritual. Look at this. Having been sold into slavery under the control of sin. Wow. That is very insightful information. Sold into slavery. Are you ready for this? Sold into slavery means a transfer of property. That's what it means. This is what Adam's disobedience did. Sold us into the hands of a new owner. That landlord put us under his jurisdiction. So under Satan's control, we were under all kinds of bondages. And we went deeper and deeper into the captivity of sin and depravity. And the scripture even says that we were servants or slaves of sin. But because of Christ, this is what we preach, man. This is what we declare. But because of Christ, we went from servants of sin to servants of righteousness. That, my friend, is the power of a great transfer. Hallelujah. And because of that, let me move to the next thing. Because of that, the Bible says that born again people of God are a chosen generation. I am a chosen generation. If you are a born again child of God, you are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of, thank you, God, he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. So the Bible says some very intriguing things here. The Bible says that believers are now a chosen generation. What does that mean? It means that we are a special people. We are now a kingdom class. Are you still with me? We are a kingdom class of people. What is the title of this message? You have a kingdom calling. So we are a chosen generation. We are a kingdom class of people. Believers in Christ are people that God now possesses. I got a new landlord, baby. And he takes care of everything. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He takes care of all of my needs. All of my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because we are now his. He has redeemed us to himself. So as a chosen generation, we are now God's prized possession. We are his people. We are his treasure. Hallelujah. We are now kingdom people. We now follow a kingdom agenda. We now have a kingdom mentality. Because we are now God's possession, our lives take on immeasurably great value. You have a kingdom calling. Never lose sight of it. A kingdom calling. So because we are now his, we have a kingdom calling. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we are now the property of Jesus Christ. I am no longer the property of the devil. I am no longer the property of sin. I am now the property of Jesus Christ. Check this out. In Colossians 1:14, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, the word redemption is a powerful, powerful word. The word redemption means to be released by the payment of a ransom. There's a lot of people that are kidnapped by terrorists and, you know, criminals, and they demand a ransom for the release of the captive. We've seen movies about it, right? I think people understand what the payment of a ransom really means. So let's put it in the context of what we're talking about here. We were under Satan's power. Because of Adam's sin and disobedience, the transfer of property. And that's why Adam was banished out of the Garden of Eden. Because of his sin. Because of disobedience. So he was now separated from God. He could not relate to God. How many of you know Adam didn't call a prayer meeting after he committed sin? Are you still with me? He was then running from God, running away, running from the presence. Even God had to go seeking him. Adam, where are you? What does the Bible say in the gospel? It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. So that transfer. So Adam, I mean, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a talk. How could he be so stupid? I mean, think of what was lost. So he transferred all the authority, all the blessing, all the favor. I mean, we're talking the Garden of Eden here. All of that, and was now under the authority of Satan, under his power, under his jurisdiction. But aren't you glad the story don't end there? Hallelujah. And that brings us to this redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So the word redemption means to be released by the payment of a ransom. A price has been paid, my friend, that caused our release. What was that payment? This ransom is the death of Jesus Christ. This is why Peter said it this way. He has redeemed us not with corruptible things like silver and gold. In other words, there was no amount of money that could ever pay this ransom. The ransom that was paid was the blood of Christ. So believers are no longer in captivity to the devil's authority. So that means we are now a chosen generation. We are the chosen people of God. The Apostle Peter weaves in an Old Testament truth to illustrate a chosen generation. And here it is. It's in Isaiah 43. He says, this people I have formed for myself. This is what God says. This people, that's why I say you have a kingdom calling. God says, this people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my praise. Are you still with me? Let's go a little further. See, we have been formed for God himself. We have entered into a kingdom calling. So God says, you are my chosen. I've always been intrigued by what Jesus said in the Gospels. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. And then he said, I have appointed you. Are you still with me? Yeah, he has appointed you. So God says in the Old Testament scripture that you are my chosen. What does it mean? So the word says that God has transferred us into the kingdom, and he now sets us as his spiritual house. Man, this is some deep stuff here. And this is exactly what we are reading in 1 Peter chapter 2. So as his very own people, That means that we are sheltered, we are carried, we are held in His hands. This is why we read this in Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He will thrust the enemy out before you, and He will destroy him. That's why the Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. When you stick with God, my friend, He's got you covered. Hallelujah. He's got you in the palm of His hands. This chosen generation. He says, a holy priesthood. Let me just touch on that for just a minute. This priesthood He's talking about. A royal priesthood. Like that song they were singing. Man, I got a lion inside of me. That's what it means. The Bible says He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Do you know what Judah represented in the Old Testament? That's right. They were the ones that brought the praise. They were some of the first worship leaders. Come on, somebody. Some of the first worship team. Hallelujah. That's why I said, send Judah first. Hallelujah. Think of it. So the Bible says it has this chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. That is a term used to describe the identity and the ministry of believers. We are chosen, set apart to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So as a royal priesthood, it means three key things here. Now remember, the Bible says that He has called us out. We're talking about the great transfer. We have this incredible kingdom calling. He has redeemed us. We're no longer under the devil's power. No longer living under his authority. We're out of his slums forever. Hallelujah. So then because of that, He says that we are now to declare, to proclaim the praises of Him. That means three things. See, this priesthood of a believer means three things. It means, first of all, that we are called to be prayer people. It's what the Bible refers to as intercessors. We are intercessors. We are called to pray. Think of what Jesus said. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all people. Then we are also called to be witnesses. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. That's all a witness needs to say. You don't have to have theological training. You don't have to know the Bible from the beginning to the end. It helps a lot. Amen. And we encourage it. But a testimony is simply, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was in bondage, once I was enslaved, I was involved in this, I was involved in that, I was under all of those crazy things, but now I belong to Christ. And I am now part of His kingdom. Hallelujah. All of these benefits are now ours. So I am an intercessor, I am a witness. And the third thing that this term priesthood or royal priesthood means, it means that I am a worshiper. I am a worshiper. When we come into the house of God, we should come in ready to praise the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. We shouldn't need to be worked up. You know, wait for the preaching, and you know, and I mean, these guys, I mean, they lay the groundwork, man. All we got to do is just step into it, right? Hallelujah. Listen, you have a kingdom calling. This is what it's all about. So we are to proclaim, we are to declare the praises of the King of Kings. He paid the ransom to liberate you and I out of the devil's captivity. And I'm not going back under his slavery ever again. All of these incredible benefits are now ours. And they're not based on our merit. They're based upon the merit of Christ. So through Christ, we have been called into the kingdom that is unshakable. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, let us therefore receive in a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken. Offer to God pleasing, listen to this, offer to God pleasing service and acceptable. What? Wait, am I reading that right? I think we underestimate what worship is all about. I think we underestimate how it should characterize our lives. So he says, man, we are in a kingdom now. And this kingdom is firm. It is stable. And it cannot be shaken. Now the Bible tells us all the kingdoms of this world are going to be shaken. Political kingdoms are going to be shaken. World empires are going to be shaken. Economies are going to be shaken. Financial institutions are going to be shaken. But don't you let any of that worry you. Because you have a kingdom calling. And the Bible says right here that this kingdom is firm and stable and cannot be shaken. If God could send birds to feed his prophet, he can surely take care of you and me. Jesus understood it well. He said, why do you worry? What are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? In other words, why do we worry? How am I going to pay for the car? The gas keeps going up. The electricity, everything is going up. How am I going to pay for the insurance? And Jesus said, why are you worried about all these things? Said, if God takes care of the sparrows. Oh, come on, somebody. If God feeds them. Are you not much more important to him? Hallelujah. So if he takes care of them, he's going to take care of you and I because we have a kingdom calling. Let me give you the concluding thing right here. I'm already kind of expounding on it. We are called to proclaim his praise. In the NIV, it says it this way. It says you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So the next time you get pulled over speeding, just take one of my lines. Do you know who I am? It probably won't work. But you never know. We were coming back. Pardon me. We were coming back from a missionary conference, Becky and I, back in April. And we were going through, I think it was St. John Parish. And speed zone was about 35. I passed the cop on my left doing probably 50. That's a little fast, I guess. Becky says, there's a cop. I said, it's too late now. And don't you know he pulled me over? Pulled me over. Asked for my driver's license. I said, you know, I need to see your license. Line from a movie. Well, isn't it on the back of the car? Some of y'all know the movie. took my proof of insurance, took my driver's license, and then I didn't, you know, y'all know I joke a lot about things. I mean, I wasn't going to say, do you know who I am? But I did say this. Oh, man, I said, man. And I'm kind of laughing, and Becky's like, why are you laughing? I said, well, I don't know. You know, he looks like he's a little depressed. And so we have some funny stories. So he went and ran a check on me, and, you know, but before he did that, I told him, I said, man, we're coming back from a missionary conference. So, you know, and I had to emphasize, missionary! So he was in his car a good 10 minutes, 15 minutes. He came back, he handed me my license, and he handed me my insurance card, and he said, just slow it down on the rest of the journey. I was like, because that would have been money that did not have to go to the state. It could go to the kingdom. But the Bible says, my friends, that you are his special possession. Never lose sight of it. And the word says, because of this incredible truth, that we are to declare the praises of the one who's called us out of darkness. So the word declare means to advertise, to proclaim, to publish, to celebrate. So as a citizen of the kingdom, now think of that. It means to advertise, to proclaim, to publish, to celebrate. As a citizen of the kingdom, we have a calling to testify to the goodness of God. So we are now the light of God. We're no longer in the darkness of sin's bondage. We are positioned right where God wants us, right where he wants us. And as children of light, during COVID, we heard this term, super spreaders. Y'all remember that? And that's why they stopped events and gatherings just like this, because of the virus, super, or so they say, super spreaders. As children of light, we are super spreaders of the goodness and love of God. So the light of God is the nature of who he is. So his nature is truth, righteousness, and holiness. So as citizens of the kingdom, you have a kingdom calling, and you are to be a reflection of the light of God. And I'm going to leave you with this right here in Ephesians 5, 8, and 9. He says, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead lives of those native born to the light. In other words, don't go to places where there's darkness. Don't associate with people who are in darkness. Now, I'm not saying you cut people off from your life. What I'm saying is you don't hang out with them and go to the places they go and do the things that they do. Are you still with me? Amen? Because you are now native born to the light. You're no longer in the darkness. So that means you have to now live by a different set of standard of values and standards. And he says, for the fruit, the effect, the product of the light or the spirit consists in every form of godly or of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. My friend, you have a kingdom.